Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to find out the latest from Green Bay with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by the Thomas Marola Law Offices.
Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola. Online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer, 1250 AM, The Fan from the Lakeland University Studios. Online or in person, learn your way at lakeland.edu. Catching up with Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, and the Green Bay Press Gazette. And some of the fans that we've heard from already this week, I still own you, as demoralizing as that is for a Bears fan to actually hear, because they know it. But once they hear it from the guy who owns them, anyone else could have said it. LaFleur could have said, Rodgers owns you. The Bears fan themselves could have said, oh man, Rodgers owns us. But for Rodgers to say it, that makes it cut even worse. But I think Packer fans too, this was a weird offseason, and maybe you question Aaron's commitment to not just this season, but to the Packers. And you've seen now, I mean, he is pumping his fist when they get a spike ball and Crosby could come on and win the game. He is saying, I still own you, to the crowd. There's a lot out of this game, but that's the moment. Not just that we're going to remember throughout the season, but this is a moment that, I mean, I think the Bears could win the next 10, 20 games, and Bears fans, Ryan, will never get over, I own you. I still own you. I've been owning you my whole effing life. That's going to be a tough one for them to swallow.
Yeah, if this was a capper to Aaron Rodgers playing at Soldier Field in a Packers jersey, that's one heck of a way to do it, right? I mean, that's as memorable as it gets. And just how succinct that trash talk was. It was he hit the nail right on the head. He's 22-5 now against the Chicago Bears. That's the definition of owning. So yeah, Soldier Field. But Aaron Rodgers Stadium.
Now, he said, Ryan, he doesn't think it'll be his last one. And he's not going to play for the Bears. I know that in my heart. Rodgers might play somewhere else to end his career. He's never playing for Minnesota, and he's never playing for the Bears. That I can guarantee to you. Now, we don't know if this is going to be his last year or not, but certainly the way that he has been playing, there's no question that this guy's 130% into this team.
Well, I don't think that there was ever a question. You know, I think that it was pretty
falling. Sports talk radio, there's always a question about everything.
That doesn't make it a very wise question. Look, it was always folly to question whether or not Aaron Rodgers cared. Aaron Rodgers would not have been here if he didn't care. Aaron Rodgers didn't need to be here if he didn't care. He came in and had the most honest press conference you could ever imagine to start things off at the beginning of training camp. And a big part of that press conference was saying that he still had the itch and the urge to compete. There was never any realistic question whether or not Aaron Rodgers cared. You've asked me if I thought Aaron Rodgers cared. I've never said anything to the contrary. It was never logical. It was never realistic. It was never all that wise to question whether or not Aaron Rodgers cared. He played awful in the opener. Everyone on the Packers did. But you've seen it this entire season. The guy cares. What's funny is I actually tweeted immediately after the rushing touchdown, not knowing that Aaron Rodgers was trash-talking the Bears fans, if only he cared more. Like immediately after.
Yeah.
The play itself, that's not a play that you make if you don't care. You're not a 37-year-old quarterback running it as hard as you can to the pylon and trying not to get killed by the defense if you don't care. So it was never in question whether or not Aaron Rodgers cared. It should have never been in question whether he cared. The guy cares. That doesn't mean that he's going to be playing for the Packers in 2022, but right now it's his legacy on the line. He understands that. He cares.
Well, right now he's the quarterback of a football team that is 5-1, that is, you know, wading through some waters that are getting a bit treacherous regarding the injuries. More guys going down yesterday. Josh Myers on the offensive line, Preston Smith, Darnell Savage out with the concussion. The offensive line, if you could update me on the injuries that we do know, and then the offensive line, I think, to talk about that too. They've done a good job of withstanding the injuries, but there were some mistakes yesterday. Royce Newman, I'll just say his name. He gave up some mistakes. So they saw a better pass rush too, and that might have been a part of it. But injury-wise, where are the Packers in terms of getting any of these guys back anytime soon?
Well, first of all, on the offensive line, I think that the Packers finally encountered a defensive front that they couldn't just throw a makeshift unit against and be okay. I mean, that Bears defensive front might be the best in football. It's definitely top five. It's really, really good. So that's what happens when you don't have all your cards and you go up against a great defensive line like that. Now, Josh Myers with the knee injury obviously changed things right off the bat. And Matt LaFleur said after the game, he does not believe that is a season ender, which is to say that Josh Myers is going to be out for a while, because I don't think it's a season ender and it's week seven. Not a torn ACL, but maybe it's a torn MCL or something like that. I mean, it's one that definitely looks to the sideline Josh Myers for some time. Preston Smith with the oblique, those can be tricky. That's going to be real interesting to see how long he's out with the oblique. You know, he was on the sideline and in his uniform, in his helmet, so it's not like they put him back to the locker room the way they did Josh Myers. But those obliques can be very, very tricky. Kind of like, I mean, a back injury can be tricky, right? Darius Smith had the back. We saw how tricky that was. I'm not saying it's the same thing, but an oblique is not a good injury to have. So that'll be interesting to see how Preston Smith handles that. Darnell Savage, concussion protocol. The concussion protocol is basically the abyss for an NFL player. Once they enter, you have no idea how it's going to go. So it'd be difficult to try to diagnose how long it's going to take for Darnell Savage. The best news of the day was that Kenny Clark was not injured. He was able to get, you know, after being down on the field, he was able to come back to off the sideline. Because as Matt LaFleur said, when he saw Kenny Clark down, he almost threw up. That would have been a disastrous injury for this defense, for this team. So that they dodged one there. But when you look at the injury situation, it's by far, already going into Sunday, it was by far the most dire injury situation the Packers have faced under Matt LaFleur. They're pretty depleted at the top of their roster. David Bakhtiari, Jaire Alexander, Zadarius Smith. Those are top of the roster guys. They finally got Elton Jenkins back, but now they're losing depth, like tier two guys that are really, really important. Kevin King, you saw yesterday why Kevin King is not a bad corner, because you saw corners that are bad corners. Isaac Adams on this roster for special teams, not for quarterback, and he's got to play. Jaire Alexander's in his own stratosphere, But Kevin King is firmly number two. He's firmly behind Jair Alexander, but he's firmly ahead of every other corner on this roster other than Eric Stokes, right? It's him and Eric Stokes. You take either one of those guys off, it is a big gap behind them. And you saw that with Kevin King. Preston Smith, clearly number two, right? Without him, you're missing your top two pass rushers. That's a big difference. So they're losing some of these depth starting guys that are really important to a team.
Let me give you three. I got three thoughts that I have, and I want your opinion on those thoughts. One thought is, I think Justin Fields is on his way to being a good quarterback. I don't know what it was yesterday, but I saw a lot of people saying that Justin Fields just doesn't have it. And this was Packer fans. I don't know if they're trying to talk themselves into not knowing that, you know, they don't want to believe that maybe the Bears actually have a good quarterback. I know he went to Ohio State and they don't pump out pro quarterbacks. I know the Bears, you know, maybe Matt Nagy's not the right guy. I saw enough out of Justin Fields. Like if Jordan Love showed us what Justin Fields did, I'd be like looking at 2022 already.
Yeah, Justin Fields looked his age.
It's his fifth game.
So,
but to say that he's not going to be good is insane.
Yeah, I think it's silly to write off Justin Fields right now because it's his first game against the Packers. It's his fifth game. He's a rookie. You don't see a lot of rookies in this league at quarterback just waltz right in and take the league by storm. It's not how that position or how this league works. So, I think that Justin Fields is clearly athletic. I don't know that he'll be a good quarterback, but I don't know that he won't be. It's too early to say, but there's reason to believe that he will be. So if you're a Packers fan, just wait and see. And I guess if you're a Packers fan, hope that he doesn't become something more than a really athletic guy behind center, but that's what he is right now, and he's going to have to develop more from what we saw yesterday.
All right, on the Packers side, I wanted this guy out of college, even if he was going to have a redshirt year. I like Jalen Smith. And Jalen Smith had a nice pressure up the middle. You saw his speed. And then he missed a tackle. So there was a good and there was bad. You're in that press box. Did Jalen Smith wrong people? Because I feel like everyone that covers the Packers is like wants this guy to fail. Do you know what I'm talking about or no?
I don't think anyone that covers the Packers wants the guy to fail.
No, everyone that covers the Packers is all not you. I haven't seen you do it, but they don't want to believe in Jalen Smith. Can this guy have a realistic impact on this team? Because I'm rooting for him.
The guy just got cut by a not great Dallas Cowboys defense, so I think that there's reason to be. Have a healthy skepticism on whether or not Jalen Smith can come in and deliver an impact. We don't know that. We just don't know. I'm not saying he can't, but I mean, being skeptical is only, I mean, that makes sense considering he just got released by a team, and the injury history and the fact that he's got a lot of mileage. So I didn't put much into his debut. I think Jalen Smith has a monumental task ahead of him. Any linebacker that comes in week five to learn a completely new defense has a monumental task in front of them because that's the literal reason why they have an offseason is to do it then. It's not to do it in October. So that's very difficult. The fact that he was able to play as much as he did yesterday, I thought in and of itself was rather impressive because that's only his, you know, he's only been back in this defense for what 10 days, so that was pretty impressive. Will he be a good player and a good linebacker in this defense? I have no idea yet.
And then this is a little more outside the box, but I think we are at the point where we have to start considering it. Where the Packers, when they kick the ball off, they should just kick it out of bounds every time, because at least then you know it's going to be at the 40, because the returners get there anyway. So at least it's not going to be a touchdown because someone's going to run one back on the Packers pretty soon. The special teams return coverage unit still just does not have it, Woody.
Yeah, they've made some improvements on special teams, but the kickoff coverage is not one of them. That's an issue for sure. They're still not very dynamic. You know, Amari Rodgers had his best punt return. Finally just got up the field on a punt return and I think got 16 yards. that was improving. They're still not that dynamic there or on kickoff return. The highlight is obviously Corey Bohorquez, who he just killed a football. I mean, Mike, I've never seen a punt like that. 82 yards from the opposite 18, rolling into the opposite end zone. It was amazing to watch the Bears punt returner kind of like set up. You know how punt returners do, like set up to field the punt and then watch his body just like kind of loose and be like, nope, not getting that. It looked like my colleague Tom Silverstein had this analogy, and it's excellent. It looked like an outfielder at Coors Field in Colorado when there's a fly ball. And off the bat, they're like, yeah, this is coming to me. And then the altitude takes over. It's like, no, it's not. It looked like Corey Bohorquez was punting in altitude. I've never seen a punt like that. Even going into the end zone, it was a 62-yard net. That's unreal. He's clearly a weapon. And that's something the Packers haven't had in special teams in forever. But they've got to shore up the kickoff coverage. There's no question about that.
I think as you look and we talk again on Thursday, I think a big storyline this week will be looking ahead of Washington. Washington has not played up to expectations, but you've got a monster game coming up two Thursdays from now against the Cardinals, who they have the Texans. So it should be the 6-1 Packers against the 7-0 Cardinals. We talk about that a lot, like letdown games or looking ahead, and I never know if you know these guys really do that or if that's more of like a fan and media driven narrative. If that's a big threat that you think the Packers have to overcome this week.
Somewhat. I think that, you know, they're going to be aware of what's coming up on a short week after this game. That said, usually, you know, trap games are not as important as whether or not a team's just better than you, and the Packers is better than Washington. So they ought to win that game. They have more talent. They've got the better quarterback. They should win that game. But I think it's going to be – they're getting into the teeth of their schedule after this week, obviously. And, you know, they've won five straight games. They've put the debacle of the opener well in the past. They've kind of proven that they are a good or even a really good team. But we don't really know how good yet because we haven't seen them against the top upper echelon teams. And that, you know, that's coming up. How good is this defense? Well, they can handle a rookie Justin Fields. They can handle Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought it was impressive 2 weeks ago that they handled Joe Burrow okay. But can they handle Kyler Murray? Can they handle Pat Mahomes? Can they handle Matthew Stafford when the Rams come? Can they handle later in the season Lamar Jackson? But those are very real questions because for a team with an eye on the Super Bowl, they're going to have to handle those type of quarterbacks. That's coming up, and that's when I think we'll get the truest litmus test of what this team really is.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Appreciate it as always. Be well. We'll talk then.
All right. Take care.
Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.